Looking forward to next week. We'll start Tent Revival Sunday night, Brother Anthony Lester. So looking forward to that all the way through Friday night, Lord willing. So, amen. Planning on setting up the tent on Saturday of this week. So, if you can come and help us, I appreciate it. Our scripture reading will come from Exodus chapter 3. Appreciate everybody being in church tonight. Glad to see Sister Pam here. God bless you. Amen. Exodus chapter 3, this is very familiar scripture reading. I've enjoyed the service so far, and I try not to hold you too long. Just see what the Lord would have to say to us. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1 through verse 10. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in the flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of the land into a land, unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Our scripture text will come from verse 7, if your Bibles are still open. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. And I want to preach from the last phrase of verse number 7. For I know their sorrows. And I want to preach from that phrase tonight, if the Lord will help me for a little while. I know their sorrows. I'd like for y'all to pray for me tonight and help me. Amen. I appreciate you entering into this service, and we want the Lord to have his way. Amen. That's why we come to church. Is that right? And I know it's Wednesday night. I'm aware maybe different ones have worked or done different things today or however it is. Maybe other things on your mind. But if we could just pull our mind together for just a little while and see what the Lord would speak to our hearts from the scriptures. Can we do that? Would you pray for me? Would you pray that God would open our minds and our hearts to receive his word tonight? Lord, I thank you for the privilege to be in the house of God tonight. I thank you for the privilege to preach to your people. I pray, Lord, that you anoint us. I pray, God, that you would touch us with fresh oil from the throne. We need your power this very hour, the Holy Ghost anointing, God. It doesn't matter that I preach tonight, Lord, but it matters that your Holy Ghost will have his way and touch us. I thank you for this scripture, Lord. You said, I know their sorrows. And I know, God, that you'd like to speak to our hearts tonight. Maybe one individual, maybe several, maybe us all. But, Lord, we anticipate you to help us tonight. And we thank you for it, Lord, and we give you praise. Can we give the Lord praise in his house tonight? Lord, I thank you, and I praise you for breath. I praise you for life. I praise you for my family.
I praise you for your blessings on us, God. I have something to thank you for, Lord. Hallelujah. Let me enter into your courts with praise, and let there be a praise in the temple. Amen. And a praise in the house. Lord, help us to usher in the Spirit, and the devil will move out. I pray, oh God, that you'll help us tonight. I love you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I glorify you. Hallelujah to your name. Hallelujah to your name. Hallelujah. The Bible said, clap your hands, all you people, and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Clap your hands, all you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You may be seated tonight. I want to preach where God told Moses out of the bush. He's speaking to him out of the bush. And he said, I know their sorrows. I know their sorrows. God knows our sorrows. Amen. And Moses had come up in the midst of this. Moses was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. Amen. Moses refused to be called, amen, the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose his birth family. And I don't know what instances or what took place, but if you would have talked to Moses when he was there and he was a grown young man still living in the palace, amen, the Bible says, amen, that he refused to be called. And somebody said, amen, look, there's this is Moses' grandson. Moses, if he had a chance to speak up, he would have been quick to tell you that he was adopted, that he was actually a Hebrew, that his birth family was really the Hebrews. Moses chose that. Amen. The Bible tells us, hallelujah, you know, our time is so short with our children, but that mother, her name was Jochebed. The Bible tells us in one place her name. Amen. And Jochebed put and instilled in that boy enough. Amen. In those short time that she had him, she instilled in him enough. Amen. That he grew up and he couldn't get away from it. No matter how far he went. Amen. How old was he when he left? Amen. How old was he? You know, here he was being called back. Was it 80 years? Amen. But he's being called back to go back. Amen. I know he died at 120 years. He's being called to go back. I may be getting my numbers off there. I don't want to get sidetracked with that. It'll mess up with me. But regardless of the fact, he's really a grown person. And he goes out and he looks at the land of Egypt and he sees an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, and he kills him and hides him in the sand. Amen. Moses goes out the next day, and there's others that are fighting with one another. They're brethren, and he tells the one that done wrong, he corrects him. He said, who made you a ruler over us? And he said, surely the thing is known, and Pharaoh tried to kill him, and so he fled. And he goes out here and he's kept his father-in-law's flock. Amen. God tells him the people that have sought for your life are dead. Go back and stand before Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Amen. To serve me. And the Bible says that the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen their affliction. I have heard their cry. And Moses, I know their sorrows. I know what causes them to cry. My God, help us tonight. Amen. We don't have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Amen. The Bible says he was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus Christ cares about what we care about. Amen. They sing the song and play it on the radio. If it matters to you, it matters to the Master. And I believe that the Lord cares about, amen, our problems. I believe the Lord cares about our sorrows. Amen. The Bible tells us that Moses is standing here in front of this flaming bush that would not quit burning. And God begins to speak to him, and he said, Moses, I know their sorrows. You know, God wasn't the only one that knew their sorrows. Moses knew their sorrows too. Moses was raised up, amen, by a man and a woman who, amen, the reason that they gave him up is they were supposed to throw him in the river and kill him. The Bible tells us in the first book of in the first chapter that there arose a king, Pharaoh, that knew not Joseph. And the Bible says that he put the children of Israel in bondage and they made for him two cities and they built these cities for Pharaoh. The Bible says that when Pharaoh would afflict them that they multiplied the more, that the more he afflicted them, the more they multiplied. And so he told those midwives, he said, when a Hebrew woman gives birth, said, if it's a boy, kill him right there. And said, if it's a girl, let her live. Well, that's the day that Moses was raised up in. He was raised by mom and dad. Amen. His biological parents was afraid. Amen. They was afraid of Pharaoh, and they was beaten. The Bible said when Moses and Aaron went in before Pharaoh and the people relieved from their work, amen, that the Bible says that they was beaten. They beat them. They was under hard bondage. And so Moses knew what kind of sorrows these people faced. And so when he went out and he was of age, he decided that he was going to take something into his own hands. So I'd like to preach to us tonight, amen. And God said, I know their sorrows. God knows our sorrows. Hallelujah. We can gain hope from that tonight, and God would like to touch us tonight. They made their lives bitter with hard bondage, the Bible says in Exodus 1 and 14. The Bible said the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. They were grieved because of the children of Israel, and the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. That word rigor means severe or stiffness, hardness. I mean, there was no relief. Do you ever feel like sometimes there is no relief? You ever feel like sometimes, man, if I could just get some relief. If I could just get a little relief. The Bible said they made them serve with rigor, with stiffness, with strictness. I mean, they had to be there on 8 o'clock on the dot. And if they wasn't there at 8 o'clock, there was no, amen, explanation or explaining. They was took and beat. Amen. They had to work and they had to produce, and whatever they was required for production that day, if they didn't get it out, man, they was beat again. And so there was hard bondage. They made them serve with rigor. Amen. No relief. They made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and all the manner of service in the field, and all their service wherewith they made them serve was with rigor. It didn't matter if they was a farmer they was working for. It didn't matter if they was working at the market. It didn't matter who they was working for. Amen. Just because, amen, the king's commandment was so, amen, they had this and there was no relief. I want to tell you, sometimes it seems like, amen, our sorrows give us no relief. The Bible said their cry came up unto God. Amen. That God heard their cry. And he said, I know their sorrows. I believe that Moses was a man of compassion. I believe that God just gave him a heart of compassion, even as a young person, because of his connection. Amen. And his birth family. And I know that it came, amen, as a result of his mom. You know, we just have our children for a little while, but you can instill in them something that they'll never get away from. The communists said, I believe, until the child was four, if they would give the child to them from birth until four, it may have been five. They said, if you'll give us the child for just a few years, said they'll always be a communist. Also, amen, the Catholic claim that if they can have the child till they're five, I believe it's five or six, if they can take a child from birth until like 5, they said they'll always be a Catholic. That's what they claim. And they have pretty strong statistics to back them up. But Moses' mom had him. The Bible said that when she opened the basket, we know the story, even the little children know the story from Sunday school. When she opened the basket that Moses wept, I believe God, amen, had Moses to weep. And she had compassion. She said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. His sister said, let me go call a nurse. And she went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. Amen. She got paid for raising her own child. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to tell you something. A mama don't need paid for raising her own child. I mean, they have such love. But I believe that God has a reward for every mother. Amen. That's greater than anything you could ever imagine. And the Bible says that when it came to pass, when he was grown, he went out and spied on, he looked on their burdens. I'm preaching tonight on God knows their sorrows. I know their sorrows. Moses knew their sorrows too. Every day out there in that wilderness, Moses wished he could do something about it. Every day when Moses was leading the flock of Jethro, no doubt he wished he could do something about it. Amen, but it was out of his hands. And sometimes we face circumstances and situations that is out of our hands. We can't do nothing about it. It's too great for us. Matter of fact, the Bible says that David said, my enemies are greater than I. Now, I'm telling you, friend, amen, there's enemies that's greater than you. Say, well, man, I'll tell you what, I'll take this down. Amen. We've got to have the help of God. We've got to have the grace of God. And we've got to trust God. And so I want to look at two things tonight. Amen. In verse number 14. The Bible said they made their lives bitter with hard bondage. And then in our scripture reading, it says, now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come up to me. I have seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. And so the oppression, the pressing down, the oppression, the breaking down of them. Amen. And then the bitter lives, the hard bondage. You know, amen, the plan of the enemy of God's people was to get them in a place where they would buckle. The oppression becomes so hard that they would give in to the pressure. And that's the same thing that the devil wants to do in 2017. He wants to make the oppression so hard that you buckle under it and say, okay, I'll give in to it. Amen. Think about the mental challenges and the emotional challenges. Amen. Every day, not knowing whether their children could live or not. Throw them in the Nile River, he said. All the boys, throw them in the Nile River. I want to tell y'all something. Amen. Jochebed and her husband, I can't remember his name, but they were some people of faith, because they didn't just keep Moses alive, they kept Aaron alive too. Amen. Miriam was the older sister, and she was able to live, but they kept Moses alive, and they kept Aaron alive. Hallelujah, his brother. I thank God for people of faith that's not afraid of the king's commandment. Amen. The Bible says, I know their sorrows. Hard bondage. We serve a God that knows our sorrows. Praise God. He hears us when we cry. He hears us. Amen. Nobody else may hear, but he hears. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 1 and verse number 40 that there was a leper. You know what a leper was? Amen. This great disease that was basically incurable. Amen. Without a miracle from God, it was a very rare situation for a leper to become clean. Amen. They did become clean. Amen. At times, but for the most part, they was banished from their people. Amen. Forever. And leprosy is a type of sin. Leprosy is a type of sin in the Bible. But the Bible said there came a leper to him in Mark 1 and 40, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. I'm preaching tonight on God said, I know their sorrows. Can you imagine the sorrows of this leper?
He was banished from his family. He was banished from his home. If he touched a couch, they had to burn the couch. Amen. If he touched a dish, they had to throw the dish in the pile, in the junk pile. Amen. And sell it at the scrapyard. It wasn't no good no more just because he touched it. Anytime he got near anybody, according to the law, he was to cry, unclean, unclean, unclean. Any clothes that he touched, he wasn't able to have. And also, he couldn't be around nobody. Think about the sorrows of a leper. The Bible said that he came unto Jesus and said, if you will, you can make me clean. And the Bible said Jesus was moved with compassion. Have you ever felt sorry for somebody? There may be somebody in your life right now, a family member, brother or sister, somebody that's sick, or a son or daughter, maybe, you know, financial needs or marriage problems or whatever, and you say, man, I just feel so sorry for them, you know, and in that kind of case. But Jesus was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion, amen, and it was in such a way, amen, that they noticed it. Praise God. They noticed the obvious care of the Lord. And the Bible said that the first thing he did was put forth his hand and touched him. Put forth his hand and touched him. You know that was a breaking of the law right there. He broke the law when he touched that man, because he was still a leper. Amen. Jesus did cleanse him, but he cleansed him with his word. He didn't cleanse him with his touch, even though he had the power to cleanse him with his hand. The Bible said when he had spoken, amen, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. He wasn't cleansed, Sister Bobby, when he touched him. He cleansed him when he spoke to him. Just like the Bible said, you are clean through the words that I have spoken unto you. If you have something in your life, and we have things in our life that God needs to cleanse us from, you know you are cleansed through the word of God. The Bible said by the washing of regeneration through the word. Amen. The word of God is a cleansing. Praise God. But Jesus touched him. Amen. Because he had compassion on him. He hadn't been touched by his wife since he was pronounced a leper. He hadn't been touched by his son or his daughter. Amen. Everybody was away from him. Do you ever feel like people just stay away from you? I ain't got no friends. Nobody wants nothing to do with me. Y'all are quiet tonight. Help us, Lord. Amen. You ain't never had the situation this leper had. None of us have ever faced the circumstances this leper had. When he walked into the market or whatever it was, I mean, his family had to basically just throw him food on the outside of the gate. And Jesus, the Son of God, touched him. I'm telling you, God wants to touch us tonight. God wants to touch us in our need. Amen. We may not be perfect. We may have faults and failures, but the Lord wants to touch us. We may have sorrows, but he said, I know your sorrows. I want to touch you. He hadn't felt the touch, human touch, in so long. You know, doctors even say, talk about human touch. Amen. Even these children that we took, the doctor would tell us, amen, take them. You know, they'll tell you, take them and lay them right on your skin to skin. Amen, they need to feel that. Amen, these children, amen, who had different, you know, mothers biologically. Amen, they would tell, my wife said, take them and lay them on your skin. Amen, let them touch you skin to skin. You know why? Because there's something about the touch, human touch. Amen, I thank the Lord. You know, sometimes my wife, all she has to do is just grab my hand and touch me. Amen. I thank God for my children. Just give me a hug or something like that. Amen. And you don't never know when it might be your last one. Amen. You don't know when it might be the last time you could hug them. But I'm trying to preach tonight. Lord, help me. I know their sorrows. Jesus knew this leper's sorrows. He hadn't been touched. And he reached out and touched him. I'm telling you, if we need a touch from God tonight, he'll give us a touch. Because he knows our sorrows. And there's a song said,
And no one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can give you peace you cannot understand. Amen. No one can bind the wounds like nail-scarred hands. Amen. Lord, help us tonight. The oppression, the heart bondage. Amen. Of these Egyptians. The oppression, the heart bondage of this leprosy. Amen. No doubt it was destroying his life.
Praise God. Maybe somebody here tonight feels all alone. Maybe somebody here tonight just feels like, you know, you can have many friends and be so lonely. Maybe somebody here tonight feels like there's just really no reasoning going on or whatever. Amen. I want to preach to you tonight. God said, I know your sorrows. I know their sorrows. Praise God. God knows all about it. Hallelujah. Lamentations chapter 3. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Does He still care? Amen. Does He still care? I know that He cared back then, but does He still care? Amen. His compassions are new every morning. Brand new compassions. Compassionate God. A God that cares. Amen. He said, can a mother forget her child, her sucking child? Amen. He said, yea, they may forget. In other words, it's very unlikely, but it is possible. We've heard these horror stories and we read them where they leave them in trash cans or, you know, under the influence and take them here or there, and we shake our heads. And I've heard mamas say, how in the world could anybody give up their child? How in the world could that happen? Amen. But I'm telling you, God said they may forget. It's very unlikely that a mother will forget her child, but it could happen. But God said, I'll never forget. He said, I've engraven you on the palms of my hands. Amen. You know, every time He looks at His nail-scarred hands, who does He think of? Who does He think of when He looks at His nail-scarred hands? He thinks of me and you. Because He did it for us. The Bible said it's the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Can we say that together tonight? Great is Thy faithfulness. Amen. Come on, say it with me. Great is Thy faithfulness. Amen. You talking about a faithful God. His compassions never fail. Amen. His burden, His concern, His caring. He said, I know their sorrows. Moses, I know their sorrows. In case you was going to tell me I didn't care, Moses, I was there when your mom put you in the river. In case you was going to tell me that I didn't care, Moses, I was there. Amen. When Pharaoh's daughter opened it up. In case you was going to accuse me of not caring, Moses, I know their sorrows. I was there. Amen. When Miriam went and called your mother. In case you didn't think I cared, amen, Moses, hallelujah, I know their sorrows. Amen. God knows. He knows our tears. Amen. He knows our sorrows. Hallelujah. The Lord knows the heart bondage, the oppression, the demonic oppression, the forces of hell. Amen. Life's pressure. Hallelujah. Amen. And in Romans chapter number 8, He says, I am persuaded, hallelujah, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He cared for the leper enough to touch him when people wouldn't get near him. Amen. I'm telling you, God cares for us tonight, and He knows our sorrows. He knows. Even from the youngest to the oldest tonight, there's people here tonight who have sorrows, things that bother them, things that they wish was different. Amen. They sang that song, said, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. Amen. You know, young people sometimes, you know, they think, well, if I could have just been born in this family, or if I could have just been born in that family, I wouldn't have all these problems. My mom and dad wouldn't fight, or this wouldn't happen, or that wouldn't happen. You know, God placed every one of us right where we belong. And He has a purpose right where we are. Amen. And He knows our sorrows. Hallelujah. He said, I know their sorrows, Moses. I know they got hard bondage. I know they're getting beat. I know they're down there working. Amen. And seem like there is no relief. Amen. God, help us tonight. Amen. Lord, help us bitter lives. The Bible said they made their lives bitter with hard bondage. You know, the devil wants to make your life so bitter where you can't even smile. Life has so many things that we would call unexpected. Now I want to tell you something. There are things in life that we go through and we can't change. And we cannot understand. We cannot explain. I can't preach it to you. I can't tell you tonight why children are abused or suffer, or children suffer. I can't tell you. Amen. People say, why does God allow that? Amen. I can't explain, you know, why, you know, some people face things and children cry because moms and dads split up and broken homes and different things. I can't explain that, but I didn't come to explain that. I come to tell you that God said He knows their sorrows. He said, I know their sorrows. Moses, you're back here on the backside of the desert. And you've got a home, and you've got a wife, and you've got children. Amen. You've tried to forget all that land back there in Egypt. But I want you to know I hadn't forgot it. And I want you to know I know their sorrows. You know what it did? It stirred an old burning compassion in the heart of Moses that he may have not thought about for a long time. Moses, you remember your family back there? Matter of fact, God said, Aaron, your brother's looking for you right now, Moses. He's coming to meet you right now. Your brother Aaron's coming to meet you. Bitter lives. Amen. Take those children that are boys and kill them. The Bible said that the Hebrew women wasn't like the Egyptian women. Said the midwife said the Hebrew women are lively women. I thought, man, I must have married a Hebrew woman. A lively. They said, the king said, why have you not done? And you've saved the men children alive. Midwife said, man, no. Said, they're not babies like you, like these Egyptian women. Said, man, they're tough. Kickstart a bulldozer. I mean, you talking about it, you know. But I remember a sister in the church I was raised up in. We learned real quick, buddy, you better get your hand out there when you shook her. She milked cows for years. Man, I'm telling you, when us boys come on, you know, there, I mean, you know, boy, she'd give us a grip and shake that hand and made us ashamed sometimes, you know. And I mean, 70 years old, still shake that hand. I mean, hard, you know. But They said, why haven't you obeyed me? And the Bible said that the midwives feared God. And God built them houses. I'm telling you, you serve God, God will bless you. Amen. The Bible said that God was good to them. That God, amen, God dealt well with the midwives. And the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. Amen. But they said, so God, Pharaoh put a decree over all his people. Because see, the Hebrews was getting by with it because the Egyptians didn't have to. And it's pulling on some of them heartstrings of some of them mamas. And they was thinking, well, I wouldn't want to throw old Johnny in the river. And so I'm not going to tell them that George is alive over here. So they wasn't telling on it. But Pharaoh put an order before all his people. And said, if a man child is born, throw him in the river. And if it's a girl, save him alive. You know what that did? Those Egyptians was under such a rule. They feared nothing. Matter of fact, they worshiped Pharaoh. He was a god unto those people. And when that happened, you're talking a bunch of tattletaling going on. I threw my baby in the river. You better throw yours in the river. And so all the Egyptians began, I mean, it got real bad. And the Bible says that she bare a son, and when she saw he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could hold, no longer hide him, she put him in that bulrush and put him by the flags at the river's brink. Hey man, I'm telling you something right now. Bitter lives. No smiling going on in that time. You're talking about grief. They had what you would call, amen, serious problems. And it was all the enemy's plan to oppress them and to get them to buckle. To get them to give in. Because they would not listen to Pharaoh's commands. He done tried it. He done tried to tell the Hebrews to do such and such things. Amen. Bitter lives. The devil wants to make our lives bitter, but God said, I know their sorrows. Amen. The Bible said their cry came up into his ear. I'm telling you, God knows how to give us relief. You believe that tonight? God knows how to turn it around. Amen. Moses is grown. He said, Moses, I know their sorrows. I'm talking about a God who cares. He cares for his people. He cares for your troubles. He cares about your sorrows. God cares. He cares about your tears. Cares about your problems. He said, I know their sorrows. I know their sorrows. The Bible said that woman told Elisha, said, my husband, you know, you knew him, and said, we took out this loan, and said, he died. And now the creditor, the guy I owe this money to, has come to take my two sons as bondmen, take them as slaves. And that was completely legal in that day. And the Bible, amen, hallelujah, tells us that she took that oil and she poured it out into vessels, amen, and sold it and paid off the debt and lived off the rest of it. Amen. Why did God give her that miracle? Because God cared about that woman's tears. He cared about her concerns. And God cares about ours too. The Bible said when they came to the grave of Lazarus, amen, that when Mary, amen, Jesus came into the area, and Jesus said, call Mary, and they went and told Mary, said, Jesus, the master's come and calleth for thee. And she got up, and they said, she goes to the grave to weep there. And the Bible said in verse 32, when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. I'm talking about God said, I know their sorrows. Amen. Jesus knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. Amen. But he was weeping because he knew and he connected with the sorrows of mankind. We have a God who has a heart that feels like we feel. He feels our pain and he feels our sorrow just like we do. Jesus knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. He told them, he said, I'm going to awake him out of sleep. They said, if he sleeps, he does well. The Bible said Jesus turned and said plainly to them, Lazarus is dead, but I'm going to go that God can be glorified and the Son can be glorified. He knew he was dead. And he knew he was going to raise him from the dead. And he was weeping. Now I'm going to get off on something I probably shouldn't right here, but there's this goofy song they play on XM sometime. I didn't cry because Lazarus died. I cried because I had to bring Lazarus back. I know the point of it is he had to leave the good to come back, but that ain't why Jesus cried. He cried because he connected with the sorrows of man. He cried because he has a heart that feels others' pain. And the Bible says that he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said, "Lord, come and see." And then the scripture, Jesus wept. Hallelujah. John 11:35, Jesus wept. Why did he weep? He knew that he was going to raise him from the dead. Hallelujah. He knew the power that God had given him. He knew that he was the resurrection and the life. Yet he wept because they was weeping. Amen. He wept because he was touched with their pain. Amen. And he is touched with our pain too. He's touched. Even though he has the power to heal us, he's still touched with our pain. Even though he has the power to change our situation and fix it, he's touched with our pain. He said, "Moses, I know their sorrows." Hallelujah. And the Jews said, "Behold how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused even that this man should not have died?" Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself. Amen. You're talking about caring. He cares. There's a song that said, "He cares." Oh, yes, he cares. Somebody else wrote a song and said, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus." You'll never find anybody who cares for you like Jesus cares for you. You can have friends in this life. I thank God for friends. I thank God for my wife. Thank God for children. I thank God for family. I thank God for it. Hallelujah. I thank God for it. Amen. You got to put emphasis on it. And you got to put importance on it. You can't let nobody come between you. You can't let your children come between you. You can't let your parents come between you. You can't let a brother or sister come between you. You can't let a neighbor come between you. You can't let a co-worker come between you. Amen. You got to keep the fire burning. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because there's a vow before God. And when that vow before God is not like a vow, he said, when you come to the house of God, you make a vow. He said, God's not a man. He's God. Amen. We let everything come between, you know. I mean, nowadays, in this day and hour, I mean, just, you know, people got, you know, off limits to their husband, off limits to their wife. I mean, you know, they got this life and he's got this life. And I mean, just go wild. Can't be that way. My God, help us. For sure, in the house of God, when you're saved, you both claim to be saved. Hallelujah. Lord, help us tonight. But anyways, talking about how much he cares. You got friends, you got family, you got husband, you got a spouse. You got those that'll care for you. And I'm talking about connection. It's from God. Amen. But there is nobody that can care for you like Jesus can. No one can care for you like Jesus. No one can touch you like Jesus. Amen. The Bible says that he wept. Amen. I don't want to lose y'all tonight. Amen. But I want the Lord to speak to somebody's heart tonight in a special way. Here they was in hard bondage. Here they was. Their lives was bitter. They had nothing to smile about. And somebody may say, "I don't have nothing to smile about." But he cares, and he knows, and he sees, and he's concerned, and he wants to move, and he wants to bless. Jesus Christ, hallelujah, cares. The Bible said he came to Jerusalem and beheld that city. He wept over it. He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. You kill the prophets and stone the ones I send to you. How often would I have took you under my feathers, under my wings, as a hen doth her brood, but you would not." But he cared. He wept. He came to his own and his own received him not. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm talking about one that knows their sorrows. The Bible tells us about the Good Samaritan, and I'm out of time tonight. I'm done preaching tonight. Amen. But he knows your sorrows. The Bible says that a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. They stripped him of his raiment, wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. I want you to know, religion can't do nothing for you. I said religion can't do nothing for you. Joining a church can't do nothing for you. Amen. Hallelujah. The priest went on the other side because he couldn't help him. The Bible said, a certain, likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. I'm talking about they turned their left blinker on immediately and got over in the other lane and said, I'm over here. And I'm on my road, I'm on the way, and I don't have time to stop. And I ain't got nothing for you. But the Bible said, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, hallelujah, is a type of Christ and an example to us. Amen. He saw him. He had compassion on him. Amen. Here's a man that life has left with nothing. Here's a man that life has left for nothing but to die. Amen. They took him of what he had. Amen. And left him there to die. But a Samaritan came to where he was. Somebody wrote a song that said, he came to me. He came to me when I could not come to where he was. He came to me. That's why he died on Calvary, when I could not come to where he was. He came to me. The Bible said he came to him and had compassion on him. He went to him and bound up his wounds and poured in the oil and the wine. You know what the oil represents? The oil represents the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. The wine represents the Word. You got to have the Word of God. You got to read the Word of God. You got to study the Word of God. You got to live by the Word of God. Hallelujah. I was at the lumber yard one time, and a man was behind the desk, and I knew he was there, and somebody said something about, hey, preacher, whatever, and I was dressed in work clothes. He said, you're a preacher? And I said, yeah. He said, man, I used to be a preacher. And I said, well, what do you mean, used to be? The Bible says the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. What do you mean, used to be? Once you're a preacher, you're always a preacher. And he said, you must be Pentecostal. I said, why? He said, because Pentecostals have a scripture for everything. We got to live by the Bible. He poured in the wine. That's the Word of God. We got to have the Word of God. We got to read the Word of God. We got to live. It's going to take more than that one verse on your Bible app, your daily Bible verse on your Bible app, to keep you saved every day. Y'all didn't know I was up with the times, did you? 2017, we're going to read one verse, the verse of the day, and try to live and fight the devil and win battles. Get the Bible and read it. Hallelujah. He poured in the oil. Get full of the Holy Ghost. He will pour in the oil. He poured in the wine. He set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. You know what that Samaritan, as he journeyed, which is a type of Christ, you know what he said? I know his sorrows. And he knows our sorrows tonight. Amen. The Bible tells us one more scripture. In Micah, he says, talking about compassion, he will have compassion on us, subdue our iniquities, and cast all our sins in the depths of the sea. I'm thankful that he cares for us. There's not a person here tonight that Jesus Christ doesn't care for. There's not a sinner in this world that he doesn't care for. Hallelujah. There's not one single lost child or one single lost husband or one single lost daughter or son that Jesus Christ doesn't care for. There's not one battle that you face that He doesn't know about. There's not one sorrow in your life that He doesn't know. Stand together with me tonight. Can we pray just for a moment right here? Amen, Lord. I know this is Wednesday night service. I know that there's different situations. But we do know also, Lord, that You care. You care for every individual in our midst tonight. You care for every circumstance and every situation. I thank You, Lord, that You care. I thank You, Lord, that You care for us. I thank You, Lord, that You know our sorrows. And I praise You for it in Jesus' name. Well, every head's bowed and every eye closed. Nobody looking around. You're here tonight and you say, Brother Sam, would you just pray for me? I don't want to embarrass nobody, but I have special needs. I have special sorrows. I have special things that sometimes I even wonder, does God really care? Would you just slip your hand up, slip it down? Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you, son. Yes, ma'am. God cares for you. I see that hand, and God cares for you. God cares for you. He knows your sorrows. Anybody else tonight? God knows the bitter life. God knows. He knows that hard bondage and bitter sorrows. Thank You for it, Jesus. Let's gather in these altars for a time of prayer tonight. Hallelujah, Jesus.